The gospel is taken from the book of St. John. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to try him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each may receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what is this among so many?" Jesus then said, "Make the people recline." Now there was much grass in the place, and men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and then when he had finished giving thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted." They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." So when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the past 8 to 10 years, it seems like things have gotten much worse in our society. Much worse concerning images and both pictorial and also video images of impurity. This may be because of the internet. These things seem to be more prevalent on the internet, more easily accessed. And then this seems to be affecting TV shows and also movies and even print advertising, that things are more explicit. These images are surrounding us and drowning us. And it seems like, I shouldn't say it seems like, it is, it has gotten worse in the past 8 to 10 years, and it's gotten much worse in the past 30 years. Now, these type of images inflame the vice of lust. Now, this vice is an inordinate desire, a not proper desire, for pleasure in regards to these type of acts. I think all the adults know what I'm talking about. And this can be both a bodily, physical pleasure with those organs, or it can just be a mental pleasure, an enjoyment of thinking about these things or imagining them. Both are types of lust. Now, the bodily pleasures can be with ourselves or another. And we don't need to go through all the different types of these type of sins. It can be with opposite or same. There's various different categories. And then in the imagination, anything that would be illicit in reality, if we imagine it willfully, then it is also a sin. And I think all the adults understand what I'm talking about. Now, it's important to realize that within a marriage which occurs before a priest, in which if both parties are baptized, it's a sacrament, or if only one of the parties is baptized, then it is a natural marriage, that the action between husband and wife is perfectly legitimate. It is a blessing to our nature. It is a beautiful thing. And it is not something that the couple should feel as something as wrong or dirty. It is a gift to us. And as I said, it's a beautiful thing. Now, for marriage, I just want to cover this just to make sure we understand this, that husband and wife, they can also think about these things with their about their spouse, and that is also not sinful. That it is perfectly fine. This is a gift to our nature, something that is not given to the angels. That we are able to participate in God's creative action. The angels do not have this gift. And even if someone never gets married, never has a child, the very fact that each one of us has that potency, that ability, gives our nature, gives each one of us a great dignity. And as I said, the angels don't have this dignity of participating in the creative action of God. And because this gift is so great, like I said, it's a very beautiful thing within marriage, that there is the potential for, of course, great abuses and great sin associated with it. And this, unfortunately, is what is affecting our society today. Now, just some more background. So, these type of sins, sins of lust, they say, the moralists would say, they do not admit of smallness of matter. Meaning, if they are committed with knowledge, full knowledge, and full consent, they are mortal sins. It's not like telling a lie. Tell a little white lie. If you do that with full knowledge and full consent, it's just a little white lie. The officer asks, "Oh, did you know how fast you were going?" "Why, no, officer." "Yes, you did." That might just be a venial sin. Might be. I'm not gonna give you a blanket permission. That so even though you know it and you did it, it might just be a venial sin. But in regards to lust, that is never the case. If you know it and you will it, it's a mortal sin. Now, if there is a defect, or if you don't have full knowledge or full consent, then it might just be an imperfection, a venial sin, or it might not even be a sin. Sometimes people will come and say, "Father, you know, I had this dream," and dreams, you don't have full knowledge and full consent. I don't care. I don't care if you think you did. If it was a dream, the moralists all say these are not mortal sins and they're not venial sins unless there's a reason from before you went to bed, the reason why you had this dream, then there might be some guilt in there. Someone might say, "Father, you know, I was watching a movie and I thought it was good, and then they flashed this scene on the screen and you know, I looked at it and I turned away, but it took me a while to get it out." That's not full consent. They didn't know it was going to be there. And fortunately, they had the victory over it. So that's another case in which we can have this sin, but it might not be a full mortal sin. It might just be venial. But otherwise, if done with full knowledge and full consent, these are grave sins. These are gravely offensive to God, and they damage our soul. Now, these bad images and pictures and videos have a name, pornography. And the church has a definition of it. And I'm going to read the definition, and I'm not going to say that word again. This is in the New Catechism, paragraph 2354. So these types of images consist in the removal, real or simulated, of these type of acts from the intimacy of the partners in order to display them deliberately to third parties It offends against chastity. That is the church's definition. Now, if you think about it, and if you review it, that definition is actually broader than the definition society would have of these images. These images in society, usually, it's more explicit. So in the church, it says that removing real or simulated, that could be a picture, a cartoon, from the intimacy of the partners. So that could be, in some cases, something that's shown in a PG-13 movie. It doesn't have to be very explicit. If it is something that you don't normally see around, then you have to ask yourself, well, is this what the church would call a sinful image? And when we really think about it, something that might appear in a PG-13 movie or something that might even appear in a print ad can fall under this category. So we need to guard ourselves from these type of images. Turn away. You see it, you turn away. Driving down the highway, there might be a billboard. Turn away. Now, of course, some of these images might not be fall under this definition. They might just be immodest. Okay, so there's a distinction here. But we're specifically talking about these type of images. But we would turn away. Don't look. If you're watching a movie, just look down, hold your hand up, and if possible, shut it off. Now, unfortunately, these images can become a very serious habit, an addicting habit. And we tend to think that this is something that only occurs in men. And the majority of people who do fall into this vice of looking at these type of images tend to be men. However, there is a significant minority these days of women who have fallen prey to this vice also. So we need to be aware of this. So, what is the remedies? We know what it is, and this vice can lead to other vices along this direction, other sins against lust and modesty. So what are the remedies? We have to pray for chastity, purity, and continence. Chastity and purity are two words for the same thing. That is the grace within us so that we are not attracted to those impure images or actions. So that we are not attracted to them. We're like little children or angels. Now, some saints have been given an extraordinary grace of purity. St. Thomas Aquinas was one of them. He was tested, and then he was given this grace that he was never moved towards an impurity for the rest of his life. Now, we can pray for that grace. It might not be an extraordinary grace, but God can restore our purity over time. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this, that the average person, through living the life of grace, can restore that purity even though they might have had a deep vice. Now, there's another grace called continence. What is continence? In regards to this, continence is the grace, the virtue, by which if we are attracted to this vice, that is, there's a disorder in our soul so that we're attracted to it, continence is the grace to be able to say no to ourselves. Purity is what we want because it eliminates the impure desire. Continence is the band-aid. We have that impure desire, it's the ability to say no to our bodies, to resist that temptation. So remember, we can be tempted, we can have a thought tempting us in our mind, but only when we give it consent, only when we entertain it, is what we say. These temptations will come to the average person. Everyone who is an adult will have these temptations. It is part of our fallen nature. It is part of concupiscence. Do not confuse the temptation with the sin. You might even find it very enticing, but as long as you resist it and you don't say yes to it, it's only a temptation. Continence is that grace by which we can say no to it. Purity is that extraordinary grace by which we wouldn't really be tempted too much, but it is rare. Now, how do we gain these virtues? First of all, we must strengthen the soul against the body. The body is what wants these illegitimate pleasures, so we have to strengthen our soul to say no to it. This is penance. This is done by penance. Those of you who are regulars here know what various types of penance is we can do. So the one that I usually talk about is when you're done taking your shower, you shut the hot water off, and you let the cold water run over you for the space of 2 Hail Marys. And you don't just kind of hide. Get under there and let it wash around, turn around. Your body will want to say, no, get me out of here. Don't turn off the hot water. But it's not going to kill you. Especially not in San Diego. The water does not come out that cold, even in the wintertime. But this is how our body tries to control us. The body says, no, I don't want to do that. In regards to eating, most of you have heard this before, you can do a little secret penances. Not taking condiments. Not putting salt on your food. When you're in a restaurant, you don't order your favorite thing. You order something that you might not find very tasteful, but you know it's not going to make you sick. You're not allergic to it. But you can do a little penance that way. Do without desserts, of course. In the morning, your coffee or tea, you take it in a way that you don't really like, right? No sugar or cream. Don't go to Starbucks. Get the Folgers. All of these are little penances by which we control our body. The snooze button, I knew one priest, called it the anti-virtue button. Right? Oh, it's so easy. When it goes off, you get up immediately. Other types of penances are prayers. We can do extra prayers. The rosary, everyone here should know, the rosary is an excellent prayer that we should all be doing every day. The bare minimum amount of prayer we should do every day is, if we weren't in church, I'd let you shout it back to me, 30 minutes. It is the minimum. That is the C minus minus. So, do the rosary every day. And then for almost everyone, actually everyone, who is doing the rosary every day, who wants to do then a little bit more prayer and is serious about the spiritual life, I always recommend the prayers. I say the next devotion you should do is Auxilium Christi Honorum. There are booklets in the back. It's also available online. This is a pious association of the faithful. And these are spiritual warfare prayers to push away the devil. It makes it harder for him to tempt you when you do these prayers. These are powerful prayers. They were established by a bishop. And so because of that, they are not based upon our personal fervor. They are a prayer of the church. So when we do them, we get graces from the church when we do them. In doing them, it is an excellent devotion, and I highly recommend it. In addition, the next devotion, there's really two, that one, and then also the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This was given to Saint Faustina, miraculously by our Lord. We said on regular rosary beads, it takes 5 minutes to do. It is a powerful means of grace. Both of these. Auxilium Christi Unorum takes 5 minutes. The chaplet takes 5 minutes. This is good for our spiritual life in general, but for people struggling with the vice of lust, they are powerful remedies to help them to say no, to help you to say no. Now, in particular, when an impure thought might be tempting you, and it might just not be lust, this will work for any type of thought, but in particular for lust, a powerful prayer is to go right to the refrain of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Don't even have to start the whole thing. You just go straight to, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Three times. Many people find great relief from a temptation, a tempting thought, a lustful thought. And of course, this will work for other types of mental thoughts, mental temptations. Another good prayer is to do the Sanctus prayer. We say a mass, Sanctus, 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 or you can do it in English, Holy, 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 or Spanish. I don't know it in Spanish, so. Yet. Okay. This is the prayer of the angels in heaven. It's the prayer the devil refuses to say. And so when you say it in your mind, any sin will just evaporate. Now, once you get the victory over a temptation or a thought, oh, and I need to add one more. Another very powerful prayer is to pray to the holy souls. In particular, pray to the holy souls in purgatory who are there because of the very sin you're struggling with. And this will work for anything, not just lust, but any sin. You're struggling with anger or greed or pride. You pray to them. They will pray and they will gain the grace as long as it is God's will. And to resist sin and avoid sin is always God's will. And so they will be happy to intercede for you. Of course, you can promise them another prayer. You can promise them prayers like the Chaplet of Divine Mercy or offering a Mass or offering them a communion if they will help you to resist this vice. And especially those souls that are in purgatory because of that vice, they will be particularly powerful in helping you to resist. Now, once we have the victory over that thought, that temptation, it's there, we find it enticing, we don't say yes to it, but it might be there, the struggle might take place for a few moments, or we might push it out, it comes back, push it out, and then finally we get rid of it. Remember that you can always invite that thought back in 5 seconds after you had that victory. That just because you pushed it out doesn't mean you don't have to worry about things again. If you find it enticing, you can always call it back. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. You want to avoid those thoughts. And you want to think about something else. Try to distract yourself by some legitimate physical pleasure, maybe hiking or biking or surfing or something. Distract yourself so that you don't fall back into it. Now, as I said in the beginning, this temptation, these images are surrounding us. It is much worse today than it was 10 years ago, and it was far worse today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. But, as St. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. The fact that these sins are becoming more prevalent, the fact that these temptations are surrounding us even more, doesn't mean that God leaves us alone. He will give us the graces to resist this. Remember, St. Paul says that no matter what the temptation is, God will always give an out, a way for us to escape, grace. We can't do it ourselves, But we have to ask for the grace to resist. Continence and purity to say no to these things. And it's important for us to realize that, especially if someone has fallen into this vice, that the virtue, the ability to say no to it, isn't going to come next month, or next week, or tomorrow. It starts today. And in no matter what, virtue starts today. No matter what vice you're struggling with, today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. The grace is available today so that the sin never has to be committed again. Today. God wants the victory today. He wants you to resist sin now, not next week. So, anyone struggling with this vice, or really any vice, I can say with full confidence that you can do this. You can do this now. You can do this today. You never have to fall into this again with the help of God, with the help of grace. So let us, even if we're not fallen into this vice, let us then take heed of this. No matter what we struggle with, we can do it. You can do it with the help of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.